Louder chimney, I guess it is. See me. I can put a chimney piece, I guess, meant same as mantle, probably. I'm not positive about that.
It's just a word
that I've heard. I've heard it too, but it's not in my vocabulary. I don't use it.
All right. What would you call the piece of wood that you burn in a fireplace?
If it were big, I'd call it a log. But if it were just some that had been split up, of course, people don't burn wood in a fireplace much anymore. I don't know any particular name I'd give to it. Well, I named kindling to little pieces that you'd have to start the fire, but of course all that's in the past now. We don't do that anymore.
Kindling then. Mm-hmm. Is this a term that's used for a particular size of wood?
Yes, back when I was a little girl, and people had fires in the fireplace, in the grate, we'd call it, you know. You started the fire with little pieces of pine, just about so long and so big, people split that up for kindling. Sometimes you bought it in a bunch at the store or something, or country people brought it in. Or some men split up their own. They buy a load of wood from the country and they split it up. Things like that. Burn wood in the stove, the cook stove too, you know.
Would you call that kindling in the stove?
No, that was just stick of wood. Bring in a stick of wood. Put a stick of wood in the fire, in the stove.
It would be larger than
that. Uh-huh. About so long. Pieces about so long they were. And it was a common practice when I was a child for a man from the country to bring in wood in long pieces. And maybe logs that he had split in half or fourth. And then Papa would buy a load of wood. Then he would split it up into stove lengths. And then when we wanted to be real smart, we'd carry in the wood before he got home. So he'd be pleased with us because we'd carried in all the wood. Stack it up in the woodshed or fill the wood box in the kitchen. And we were one of the first families anywhere around our area over there to have a gas stove.
Oh,
for years we had a gas stove and a wood stove. In the winter you cooked on the wood stove because you wanted the heat. But in the summer you cooked on the gas stove. Now that's before the day of electric stoves. We were also among the first to have an electric stove because my father worked for the old Rome Railway and Light Company that was taken over later by George Power. So we always had everything electrical a little before some people did. We had an iron, long time before some people had an electric iron, and he always had an electric fan, things like that. Now that would have been back around 1910 and 12 and 14 when people didn't have them common.
Mm-hmm. Refrigerators.
Now, people used to go around and know the ice wagon would come mm-hmm. around and had great big blocks of ice, and they'd chip off, cut off, however much you wanted. And the children would all gather around and get it. When they saw the ice, you know, the shavings from it, oh, that was good.
In the summer, I mean,
it was quite an event every day. And you'd tell them if you wanted 10 pounds or 25 pounds. Now, some people had a bigger ice box, they'd get 50 pounds. That's about as big a piece as a home ever got. And you didn't have ice unless you got it from the ice wagon, and you didn't get it. After it didn't get cool like this, the ice wagon didn't come anymore. Because nobody buys when it wasn't hot weather.
What did you do with food and stuff?
You'd call up the market in the morning before breakfast and they'd deliver meat to you. Imagine that. Deliver your meat before breakfast. I woke up many a morning. Papa called the market for a pound of steak. He liked steak for his breakfast. And they'd deliver it before breakfast.
You order each day for what you had.
That's right. When it got cold enough, you see, we used to keep what we had up ground cellar. Papa called it. He fixed us a little screened box outside of one of the kitchen windows. And it was just screened so it was good and cold, and the window come down in front of it. So you put your food in there, and it was just like in a refrigerator.
Kind of like out from the mm-hmm. sill?
Yeah, out from the sill. Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that.
Didn't very many people have those, I don't suppose, but we did. We called them out up-ground cellar. But now that was probably due to Mama's influence from the north. Now it might have been, because other people around didn't have them. We had an interesting experience about this language stuff. A nice young fellow a few years ago who taught out at Charlotte, who was quite a good friend of ours, and he'd be over here in a bit. And he would laugh at some of the things we said, because he said we used a lot of expressions he didn't know. Now, he was from over around Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and he maybe had some expressions that wouldn't have been too common to this area. But we realized that some of the things we said, we didn't even notice we said them, were expressions we'd gotten from Mama. They were expressions used in Ohio, not common to this area, you see. So a lot of times you speak a mixture